Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's happiest podcast network.
Hey everyone, Jackson here. Before we begin today's episode, did you know we're running another art competition over on Twitter and Instagram? We have four physical copies of the Wardlings campaign setting, 2B1, as well as yearly subscriptions to Sans Pants Plus, where you can get a heap of bonus D&D campaigns and a bunch more. To enter, what we want is your best art inspired by D&D is for Nerds. That's any campaign, any NPC, any character, even any setting, we don't care. We want you to tag your creation with hashtag D&D Nerds Art. That's hashtag D&D NERDSART. And then we'll find them. Or for those that want to avoid social media, you can always email us at sanspantsradio@gmail.com. Entries close September 30th, and the winners will be announced October 9th. Also, our most handsomest member, Handsome Tom, went and adapted one of our early campaigns, The Audicus, where I play a griffin-hungry sky maniac, into a novel, which is available to purchase on our merch store on our website, sanspantsradio.com. You can order a physical copy, you can grab the ebook, you can get both in a bundle. It's incredible. Stocks are limited, though, so get in before they're sold out. Once again, just head to our merch store on our website, sanspantsradio.com. Bada bing, bada boom. Enjoy the episode, you cowboy.
Once, many years ago, when the sun still shone brightly, there lived a brave and cunning adventurer named Sir Jordan Grace. Having just saved the town of Ampwick from the great and terrible Necro Wizard, he decided to celebrate with his good friends and companions. But, unbeknownst to him, something terrible was awakening deep beneath the earth, and his time in Ampwick was far from over. Welcome to Episode 1 of Fall from Grace, Part 2, The City. Previously...
You do a pretty good job of keeping ahead of it. Mm-hmm. You actually maybe even need to slow yourself down so that it can keep up and it won't lose you.
Yeah.
Come back, food. It collapses backwards into the pit.
Oh, thank God.
Due to the fire damage, the fall damage, and the spike damage, the ogre is immediately and outright killed.
I stand up or, you know, get back into a normal position. Well done. Well done, everyone.
In the middle of a copse of trees, a copse of dead, gnarled trees, you can see a thatched building. It looks like a hovel more than anything else. Her mouth is open in silent scream, but she has no air to make any sound. Mally's tongue explodes.
Oh, no.
Mally's eyes pop, pop, pop out of her head.
Oh, my God.
Mally's chest is crushed completely.
Then I would like to, like, leap off the Anis Hag, back up, load it into my bow, and fire it at her.
I'll allow it.
Cool.
Everyone kind of in town knew this was do or die.
Mm-hmm.
So when you return, there's actually quite a lot of people out of their houses and waiting for you.
Mm-hmm.
There's a tremendous cheering. It's awful what happened to Mally.
Yeah.
Terrible, terrible. But I'm not going to pretend like... I would never have considered myself someone who would lie to themselves.
No.
And I would be lying if I said that it wasn't exhilarating.
You would have to be, yeah, the world's greatest liar to say that in a way it doesn't feel good.
So, Grace,
yes.
You find yourself sitting at a table, laughing and drinking with your three companions. You're in the Axe of Lightning, a fanciful commoner's inn built within what was once an aristocrat's manor. It's a fancy-looking place.
That's great.
It's been converted, though, quite
handily.
Oh,
that's so good.
So, sitting around you are... Sorry, let me start with you.
Please.
You are Sir Grace the Chivalrous.
Ugh.
Veteran of the Mondale Madhouse and savior of Shaybrook.
Ugh, Adam.
Sitting to your side, immediately to your left, is Thudu the Bold, also veteran of the Mondale Madhouse and friend to the poor. Across the table from you is Xin Wilin, a powerful arcane wizard, honored among elves, slayer of orcs, and the only and last known seeker of Orm. Then, To your right is a giant mountain of a man. Sir Richard the Owl Bear Armed Wear.
Hell yes.
Knight of the realm in great esteem. He who slew the vile dragon Torkelson.
Well.
You are collectively known by many different names. Some know you as the Mage Bane. Some know you as Grace's Companions. And fuck. Some know you as the Light of the King.
Mm. Mm.
You are here in Ampwick after a few days ago, you as a group slew the vile necro wizard Waiter Norton. You fought alongside the defenders of Green Iron, an order dedicated to protecting the Ironwood Forest. You are in what was once known as the Realm of Blue Beach, a semi-autonomous state underneath Candor.
Okay.
Although recently it is celebrating its proper union with the nation of
Candor. Oh, great. Wonderful.
You are, for the first time ever, or you are among the first ever knights here in Blue Beach, and people are treating you like royalty.
I was going to say, I assume all of the alcohol and food has been complimentary.
Oh, yes.
And we have partaken greatly.
You are drinking heavily. Specifically within Blue Beach, like I said, you are in the city of Ampwick,
mm-hmm.
which is maybe Blue Beach's second largest city.
Cool.
It's home to about just shy of 10,000 people. So it's quite large.
Cool.
It's bustling, bit of a metropolis. There's different sections and quarters to the city. The city is divided into three major sections. The first section is the surrounding woodlands mm-hmm. and farms around there. Then there's the first inner ring of the city, which cool. is where most of the markets and the majority of the people live. And then finally, there's kind of the city center, where the nicest of people get to stay.
Yeah,
such.
Great, great. Is that where we are?
No, you would be in an area called the Armorer's Village.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
Which is kind of in the southeast-ish of the city.
Cool.
You're enjoying, like I said, drink mm-hmm. and food, compliments of the house.
Yeah.
You are heroes, celebrated heroes right now. The necro wizard Norton was threatening this town and many other smaller settlements in the area with his army of the dead.
Hell yeah.
Thanks to you, he has been slain. And the people here are justifiably grateful.
Are there any, like, kids around? Like, is it the kind of I would like to bend down and offer my spear for some kids to play with and see.
You think the Axe of Lightning has never been busier. It is packed shoulder to shoulder, and everyone wants to meet you.
Right.
You can absolutely offer your spear.
Yeah, I'd like to just, like, get down on one knee in front of some kids and be like, see this spear? This spear has a name. Can you guess its name?
Maybe one of the children, a young dwarf, traces his finger along an elaborate curling script saying the word cinder, and he mouths the word out. Cinder.
Do you know why it's named Cinder?
The dwarf child shakes his head.
Well, I am Jordan Grace, Sir Jordan Grace of House Grace. And my ancestor also went by the name of Cinder. Cinder Grace. I would like to be telling the story in a way where I'm hoping people will surround me to listen in.
Oh, people absolutely are. You can hear, though, Thudu the Bold set her tankard down in front of her, and you can almost hear her rolling her eyes. She's heard this tale a great many times.
Now, she wasn't nobility when it all began. She was just a simple peasant woman in a town besieged by a foreign enemy. But she knew something had to be done. She, like everybody from House Grace, we just don't take it lying down. So she did what she had to do, and she called upon a fairy, a very wise and powerful fairy. And the fairy, because Cinder Grace at the time, she was just a simple peasant woman. There was no way she could get into the castle without looking like nobility. So the fairy granted her her wish and gave her a beautiful gown, a beautiful dress, and beautiful glass slippers. All right. Have I inspired the people enough that there is silence in the tavern?
You tell the story. The story itself is maybe like it's very elaborate. Mm. So the people here are struggling to kind of follow the
That's fair.
Follow the links. But you are a powerful enough figure. Actually, you know what? I'm going to give you advantage on this check. The people here love you. The story itself, the person telling the story is so engaging to these people that they are enthralled. A hush falls over the tavern.
Once she made her way into the castle, her glass slippers on her feet, her beautiful gown on her dress, she entered the ball that was being held. She walked her way right up to the leader of this foreign army, and she introduced herself. "My name is Cinda Grace," she said. "Oh, what a beautiful woman," said the leader of this foreign army. And so the two danced, and they danced, and they danced, and they danced, until midnight fell upon them, and they had been dancing the whole night through. It was at that moment, and nothing makes me prouder, that Cinda Grace brought her glass slipper off her foot, smashed it into the floor, and used the glass of it to slit the throat of the foreign general. At that moment, well, without the general, the rest of the army fled.
The people issued hushed gasps.
And slowly, but surely, Grace and people like her and her eventual family came to take over the town. And that is why, and I would like to reach into my coat and pull out my, at this point, well-worn journal of adventures with a glass slipper on the front. That is why the slipper is the sigil for House Grace. Thank you. Thank you.
There's cries for another story. People are hollering out for it. And maybe you're like, the tail took a bit out.
Yeah, yeah.
So as you sit back down, you see, or you don't see, you feel Sir Richard Ware push past you and say, "I've got a tale to tell."
Everybody, Ware's got a tale to tell. He'll entertain you for a moment.
People laugh and cry and cheer as he tells the tale of how he tore Torkelson's head clean off its neck, clean off the black dragon's neck. Get a good boy card.
I'm assuming I've heard this story from Ware before.
This is his equivalent of your
yeah,
story.
Yeah, sure.
He's told this story literally to anyone who will listen.
Yeah.
While you're sitting there, you can tell that Xin Wulin is engrossed in her book. This is very typical of her. She's a sage through and through. She is very, very studious and is pretty much always reading something new. Mm. Whenever someone approaches her, though, she will always politely engage them in conversation. Although a lot of people feel as if she is almost unapproachable. So very few people do talk to her. Thudu is also being loud and rowdy, but her loud and rowdiness is more drunken than boastful.
Zen, if you don't have to be here. If you want to go upstairs somewhere out of the noise, that'd totally be understandable.
Xin Wulin peers at you over her spectacles and says, "No, I prefer the noise."
Well, all right then. I'd like to cheers if she's got a glass, anywhere.
A fine tapered glass of elfin cheers! Wine, which you demolish.
Zen, I'm sorry. I've had a bit to drink.
The elfin wine spills over her book and... Now she does look a little
annoyed. I'm so sorry, Zin. I was just getting caught up in the revelry.
"Perhaps I shall go to retire to bed." She closes the book, gets up and leaves.
I'd like to nudge Thudu. Like, do you see what I just accidentally
did? Thudu is trying not to laugh, but nods.
Oh, man.
The second she's out of earshot, or the second Sir Richard Ware thinks she's out of earshot, he loudly boasts, "Ah, she's like that."
I don't even know what that... Yeah, all right. Yeah. All right, Ware, sure. For sure.
All right, so you have a night of drunken revelry with these
Fantastic.
People. They listen to maybe a great deal many stories of your exploits about, and eventually you notice that the night gets very late and people begin to taper off and taper off and taper off until it's maybe just like the really dedicated and the regulars.
Is there like a roaring fireplace?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'd like to retire to that with a cigars a thing.
You can have a pipe.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'll retire to the fireplace with a pipe and puff on it and maybe like a small glass of brandy or something.
I would say Sir Richard is probably still chatting and speaking loudly. He literally will not... If you let him talk, he will tell the story of killing that dragon again and again and again. He has other stories, but that's definitely his favorite.
I imagine that both the dragon story, the founding of House Grace, and the story about killing the necro wizard have happened like five times throughout the night.
So Richard Ware seems to be trying out that story of killing the necro wizard, seeing as if he... Does he have a new favorite story? Thudu is sitting with you. She's, the fireplace has like a big metal flue over it that, because it's an open, it's not up against the wall. It's kind of middle of things.
Sure.
So it's got a big open flue to catch all of the smoke. She's leaning up against that and has like a one of her gauntleted hands on it. She doesn't seem too troubled by the heat, but the fire seems to be, it's kind of like mostly coal and embers at this point.
How long do you reckon we'll be staying here? I say to her.
Thudu turns around and she says, I'm not sure. I would say at least a couple days.
Yeah.
We're not needed anywhere specifically anytime soon.
Might be nice to explore the place without, you know, the necro wizard breathing down our necks.
Of course.
Get to properly have a look around, yeah.
Yes, it'd be nice to enjoy a city without having to worry about a vampire. She winks.
That'd be something else. I don't think we'll ever be that lucky, Thudu. Oh, man. I continue to puff my pipe.
Eventually, the night becomes too late even for you, and everyone begins to retire. Even Ware, at this point, has reached the end of his tether. He gets up, you bid good night to everyone, and then you each retire to your individual rooms.
Fantastic.
No matter where you go, all four of you must have individual rooms.
That's the rule.
It just greases the wheel.
Yeah, look, absolutely. Like any adventuring party, we've learned to know each other and know each other's boundaries. And I also imagine that no matter how individual the room, really no matter where we're sleeping, we can hear the, what I have to assume are horrendous snores of Sir Richard Ware.
Sir Richard Ware snores like a, like, the snores of Sir Richard Ware echo like a stuck pig throughout any building he is in.
It's incredible. He snores so loudly that you feel like it would like lift the Duna cover off the bed and back onto him.
Okay. In the night, not in the night. It would be just before dawn. You are awoken by screaming.
I'd like to roll out of bed and grab my spear in my hand, grab Cinder and
your room is
ready
empty.
Myself.
You can hear the screaming somewhere. You notice it's coming from out your open window.
I like open the window and in one fluid motion, like I'd like to get like a leg up. Like if I got to leap out of this window, I will.
When you duck out, you see through like almost like a cartoon, all four of you duck your heads out of your respective windows at the same time. You see a woman, a scullery maid maybe, has dropped her in the alleyway below, has dropped her bucket and is screaming, looking at a corpse right in front of her. She turns around and sprints out of the alleyway.
Give everybody a look, don't say anything, but I assume we all head down there to the corpse.
Thudu looks at you, Sir Grace, and mouths, vampire.
I like people laugh.
All right, so all of you head downstairs. Yeah. The bartender is comforting the scullery maid. She seems very distraught.
Zin, that's her name?
Zin Dwilin,
you go have a look at the corpse.
Zin Dwilin nods and exits out the front door.
Richard, if you want to chat to the scullery maid.
he winks. at you.
Okay, I've rubbed my brow. Whatever, that's fine. Me and Thudu will search the surrounding areas.
Okay, so you and Thudu search. Sir Grace, what is your investigation?
Great
plus
question.
Three? That's all right. So, searching around, you and Thudu can work out together that the alleyway, first off, the alleyway that the corpse is in, and you see Zinwilin kneeling over the corpse, inspecting it.
Yeah.
You can see that the alleyway is obviously leads to a storage shed, which is not really attached, but is part of the tavern.
Yeah, sure.
And you can see that the corpse was going in between the storage shed and the tavern. The corpse has a sack, which maybe you open, and inside the sack you find loaves of bread, fish, basically food.
Yeah, okay.
You keep looking around. You see footprints on the ground in the mud. In the mud you see two sets of footprints, one of the victim, one of a mystery person who approaches from behind and then turns around and walks away. You can try to follow those if you want. You also spot a lot of small tracks.
Oh.
A lot of really small tracks, which you do identify as rat prints.
Huh.
There's lots, lots more than would be really appropriate. There's a lot of rat prints here. And other than that, you don't find any other like leads specifically.
I'll flip my journal open to what I assume are like the few remaining pages.
Yeah.
And I will start to draw like a little map of the area. Mm-hmm. And then I'll try to put the footprints in and I'll just jot down all of the information that I have here. And then I'll go to Zin. Do we know a cause of death?
Zin looks up at you.
We talking magic, just a regular dagger, blade?
She shakes her head. Yeah, she shakes her head and gestures at the corpse. There isn't much corpse left to tell what happened. And you see, sure enough, there is not a lot of corpse left to tell what happened. It looks like a beast fell upon this person.
What the hell?
Their neck is torn asunder on two sides, as if gills were grabbed and opened.
Gosh.
There's massive gashes on both sides. The person's head has been completely crumpled inwards so that their features are basically indistinguishable. You can also see that there are some claw marks about the body, two on either side where the hips are, and you can see some particles of frost there.
Mm. I'd like to look to Thudu and be like, not vampires then.
Thudu shakes her head. Not any that I've seen. Zinwilin shakes her head slowly. Not necessarily.
Yeah?
It is possible that a lesser type of vampire could have attacked. Other less coherent, more monstrous types of vampires do exist, such as vampire spawn.
Oh.
Vampires that are created by a powerful one to serve it and for no other purpose. When they attack, it is more vicious.
Okay. I'd like to flip open my journal, write vampire spawn, give it a circle. Do you think that's what did this?
I couldn't say. Mm. I couldn't even tell you what killed the poor man.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll go inside and see what old Dickie's got to say, see if he's...
As you're walking away, Thudu... Maybe Thudu and Zinwilin are standing there near the corpse. As you're walking away, you hear Thudu say to Zinwilin, well, we can make a pretty educated guess as to what killed him.
Thudu rolls. I'd like to go in and kind of like regretting my distribution of people. Just check to see what old Dickie Ware, how he's dealing with this. Oh, God.
All right. As you walk in, the scullery maid pushes past you, her head in her hands, sobbing heavily. And you hear Richard Ware's looking at the bartender, and he says, with a shrug, I don't really understand.
I'd like to
Why?
I'd like to shake my head and like try to put my arm around the scullery maid and take her somewhere privately. Ma'am, I'm so sorry. Richard,
She's just sobbing heavily. Mm. She doesn't really, if you try to touch her, she
recoils. Oh, all right, I'll take my hands off. Ma'am,
home.
I can walk you home if you'd like.
She looks at the bartender. The bartender nods, of course. Please take her home.
Yeah. I'm going to walk. What was your name, ma'am?
My name is Helga.
I'm going to walk Helga home. You all, I don't know, clean up here. See if you can find anything we've missed.
Oh, I'm sorry. There is an extra set of footprints that you found at the scene.
Okay.
There's a third set of footprints that are heading to the storeroom and then back, and you would immediately know them as the scullery maids.
Okay.
They go past the corpse to the storeroom and then come back.
Okay, so she encountered the corpse on the way back. Because the corpse was coming basically in that direction as well, yeah?
Yeah.
Are they walking together at any point?
It doesn't look like it, no.
Okay. Search, see if there's anything we missed. Maybe I'll ask the bartender, maybe I'll say this to Thudu and Zin as we walk past them. Maybe ask the bartender if, I don't know, he's seen anything similar recently. Something like that. Could be something, I don't know. Could be something we missed. I'm going to walk this lady home. I'll start walking to her, and I'll just like, when I feel like she's calmed down and feeling safer, I'll start talking to her. So did you, and I'm so sorry to bring this up, but did you see what happened, or did you just come across the body?
She shakes her head, but doesn't say anything.
Okay, so you just came across the body. Did you hear anything?
She shakes her head.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you know the person? It's a big city, I know, but I just think I thought I'd ask.
She seems hesitant. She doesn't say yes or no. You can just see that she's, like, kind of staring forwards but down.
Yeah.
And then she, like, kind of in between sobs again. She's not crying. She's not, like, really loudly crying. Yeah. She's just sobbing quietly.
Sure.
She says, I don't know.
You don't know if you knew him?
No.
Okay. Well, as in, and look, I'm sorry to press, but as in, maybe you've met him before or you're maybe not feeling up to answering the question.
I couldn't tell.
Okay. Well, hey, that's fair. He was in pretty bad shape.
What a great thing to say.
Yeah. Look, well, all right then. Just know if I don't ask the right questions, I'll get roasted when I get back to the tavern. Do you live around here? It's pretty late for you to be out and about, isn't it?
I work the night shift at the tavern.
Oh, okay. For sure.
I live just a block away.
Mm.
Sure enough, she gestures and she's nearly home.
Okay. Well, thanks for your help, Helga. If we have any more questions, I'll definitely come back and ask if that'll be okay.
Yes.
Yeah, maybe, you know, get a good night's sleep and, see if you can, I don't know. If you remember anything else, please let me know.
Okay.
Good night.
Good night, she says. And then she closes the door.
Cool.
You walk back. By the time that you get back to the tavern, the sun is properly risen. And it's very early morning. Mm-hmm. You feel hungover and in a sorry state. I'm going to say you have a level of exhaustion.
Yeah, that's fair.
Disadvantage on ability checks.
You find anything else out? I say when I get there, rubbing my forehead.
When you get back, you see that Thudu and Xinhua Lin are standing kind of like at the entrance to the side alley. And are having kind of a hushed conversation. When you walk past them, Xinhua Lin looks at you and says, I'm reading the tracks wrong.
Yeah.
Thudu interjects. She very well could be.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Zimbalin says, it looks like she walked around the corpse.
That is strange. She said she might know him, but she wasn't sure. That's very strange. I asked her, well, when I was speaking to her, actually, I said, did you see it happen? She said, no, she just saw the body. The sack full of food, was that dropped by him?
Yeah, it was presumably he was carrying it.
Okay. Is the bartender still with us?
Yep. You walk back in and Ware is chatting with the bartender.
Do you know the fella outside? If you got a person delivering food or anything?
The bartender nods. Yeah, I have another bar hand. Erp.
Erp?
E-A-R-P.
Okay.
Erp. Who's not around. So I did send him out for food a little while ago.
Looks like it's Erp. Does Erp have any family?
Yes. Yes, he does. He has a sister, I think, somewhere. I'm not exactly sure where.
That's okay.
He says, somewhere in the Tome District.
Somewhere in the Tome District.
Tome District is just kind of directly north.
Okay. I guess a better question, actually. I probably should have asked this first. Does he have any enemies?
Erp is he's a bit of a simpleton, to be honest.
No enemies. Yeah, simpletons can have enemies. Simpletons are annoying, I say.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Although I've not known him really to talk much to anyone.
Okay. And the scullery maid, you would vouch for a character? She's never done anything untoward.
No,
to you.
She seems nice sort. She's young, very young.
Mm. Okay.
What happened to him? I've not been out.
It's kind of hard to say. It seems like he was attacked by something. Look down at my notebook that just has rats written in it. Although at this stage, we're not sure what.
Is it connected to the...
To the wizard?
You know, he gestures to his neck.
Wait, what?
Well, this isn't the first early morning murder.
Well, I'd like to pull up a stool. You're going to have to tell me what that's about.
Well... Most of this is a lot of hearsay.
Sure.
You'd want to talk to Lady Anel.
Yeah, sure. Lady
You know Anel. Lady Anel. So this town is ruled by two factions, which is kind of like, it's like the two worlds, Blue Beach and Kandor, coming together.
Okay.
It's ruled by a noble aristocrat, Lady Anel, who was appointed by the king. But it still has a council of elders from when it was part of Blue Beach.
Okay.
And they form kind of like a Lady Anel... basically will enact laws and acts as like a president sort of the town. And then the town council act as like a check.
Oh, okay. Sure. Huh.
So technically, there are two votes on any issue.
Yeah.
It's that one is Lady Inel's and one is the council's.
Yeah, cool, cool. Sort of like the queen a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
But more like I'm assuming that the council can stop her, whereas I feel like that's just not going to happen. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, cool. All right.
If you speak with Lady Inel, I think she should know more about it. You might want to speak to, I don't know, I guess some member of the guard or something like that. But this is, there've been a few murders. I think strangulations.
Strangulations?
Pretty brutal stuff, I've heard.
Okay.
A lot of my patrons like to get drunk in here and
talk about it.
Yeah, talk shit.
Yeah, of course.
But mostly the murders, though, have been around the Fae Castle Farthing and the Tome District, which you know is two parts in the northeast of this town.
Well, you said that Erp had family in the Tome District, yeah?
Yeah, yeah, he does.
That's interesting. Okay, well, thanks so much. Just give me a sec to confer with the rest of the team. Yeah, I'd like to go maybe collect the three of them together.
Mm-hmm.
Be like, well, I don't know about you guys, but I don't really think we're done here. You know, I don't think we're going home anytime soon.
Thudu nods. Thudu gives like a resignated nod. And Sir Ware says, well, of course not. We've got to do this, don't we?
There is adventure to be had, Dickie.
Tell you what, anything that keeps me away from the home castle. He thuds you in the shoulder. You know he's a newlywed.
I give an awkward laugh. Yeah. And now a quick word from our sponsors. Also, D&D is for Nerds is good, but did you know that we produce at least 8 other podcasts? Perhaps you like Jackson and Zammit, but wish that instead of playing D&D, they were yelling at each other about pop culture and just generally being rude to each other in a public setting. Well, if this sounds like you, then why not head to sanspantsradio.com and search for Plumbing the Death Star, our pop culture comedy podcast that's far better than it has any right to be. Okay, well, the bartender said that it might be worthwhile, I relay everything.
Mm.
Yeah, well, he said that Erp, that's the name of the deceased, Erp's got a sister in the Tome District. We got a couple of leads, but I'd like to, rub my forehead. Who else is terribly hungover?
Everyone, looks around and nods.
I think we can afford ourselves, another 6 hours sleep.
Yeah, that sounds good. That sounds good.
We'll all head back in and have a nap.
All right.
That's such an awkward thing to walk past the bartender. Sorry, we're very tired. We woke up in the middle of the night to look at a murder. Sorry, dude.
All right. At the end of your little kip, I'm going to say that you no longer have your level of exhaustion.
Cool.
You've nursed off your hangovers. So what's your next protocol?
Right. Well, do you reckon, I say to the party, so the bartender was talking about strangulations. He was saying that there'd been rumors of that happening in some of the other districts in town. Do you reckon that's related? I don't know. It doesn't feel related to me. I got to be honest with you.
Thudu nods slowly. Doesn't feel related at all, no. I would say I agree with you.
Yeah.
Zinwilin shakes her head slowly. I don't know if I'd be so easy
To dismiss this,
yes.
Well, maybe it's worthwhile chatting to the guard then. We're in pretty good relations with them, you know?
You know that probably when you've not met Lady Inel, but you probably have met and know Aned, a male halfling. He's kind of in charge of the town guard.
Well, we could go chat to him. I don't know, just get a feel for the strangulations. I guess you're right, Zim. We shouldn't discount anything. Is there a guardhouse or like a main sort of guard's headquarters we could go to?
Yes, you do know. You've probably been, actually, to the guardhouse here. Cool. You know it's a grand half-timbered building decorated with stained glass windows. It contains a large hall that has many cells within it.
Cool.
It's kind of like a big... I don't know how to describe it without talking about Red Dead Redemption, but it's like a big building where imagine an open plan jail.
Yeah, I kind of know what you mean. Yeah,
Where there are a bunch of freestanding jail cells where people are hooked into. You know, you can find him there.
All right, well, we'll make our way toward that then.
That would be kind of in the city center. You'd be going through the interior set of walls.
Cool.
As you do so, you walking about, you get a lot of people who are like, "Hail the Mage Bane! Hail Grace's companions! Look, look, it's the light of the king!"
I give them a good wave every time we pass them. You know, if people stop to talk to us, I'll talk back, you know, but it, always heading sort of onward.
A 20-minute walk takes you 40 minutes. But eventually you do get there. It's the building is just as beautiful as the day that you came here while you were facing the Necro Wizard.
Yeah, cool.
Inside, well, you're just allowed inside past several sets of armed gates just by people who already knew you until you get to kind of in the center of the building's kind of like a madhouse with people raving and yelling and a cacophonous like ringing of metal on metal of different, well, metal hitting metal.
Yeah, cool, cool.
And all the different people either protesting their innocence or hurling awful insults at the guards.
Yeah.
You do, however, even through the criminals here, you do, however, cut a swathe as no one wants to interrupt you. As you approach, kind of in the center, the desk where you see Anded.
Mm-hmm.
He looks up at you.
Sorry, you seem pretty busy, Anded.
It's always busy around here.
All right, Anded. Yeah.
How can I help you, Sir Grace? Ah, of course, Grace's companions.
Yeah, that's us.
You can see as he tilts up, you can see that his throat has been like not recently slit, but was
in
once,
the past slit
was once slit ear to ear.
Gosh, I'm sure this is something I recognized the first time we came in.
Oh yeah.
Well. Is there like a place for all four of us to sit down?
Yeah, he gets people to draw some seats for you.
I don't know if it's much, Anded, but we were going to leave, but we sort of found ourselves in, I don't know, maybe the middle of something. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just part of the everyday life in the city. But we were spending the night in the Axe of Lightning, and we woke up to a scream. A woman had encountered a body, I guess. It seemed like they'd been torn apart by some kind of creature. Now, we spoke to the tavern keeper, and he said that that there'd been some strangulations in the city, but that it might have been rumor. And we just thought, I don't know, look, we might be staying here a little bit longer now to investigate. I thought, well, you know, we might as well ask you if you've ever encountered anything like this.
There's been a few strangulations, yes.
Sure.
What exactly happened to the body?
Well, it seems like the body was leaving a sort of storage shed.
Yeah.
And as they came back, they encountered somebody else, a third party, you know, the dead body, the scullery maid.
Yeah.
Encountered a third party, and I look back down at my notebook with rats written in it. Lots of small animals. And they...
Well, do you mention the small animals?
Yeah, probably like lots of small animals, possibly rats of some kind, maybe enchanted, I don't know. And they tore to shreds this person. Oop, I don't know if you know him.
No, I don't know him. It's a big town.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't know. If there have been a lot of murders in the city, they could be related. So we thought we'd come and ask.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought this to me.
Oh, of course.
Yeah. So, you're right. There have been a string of strangulations.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if they're connected or not. The MO changes a couple times.
What's it at the moment?
Well, right now, we've had a couple where the person's been strangulated and we find redness. Redness around their orifices, around their nose, ears, mouth.
Redness?
Yes. Right now we're operating on the idea that maybe they were poisoned. There doesn't appear to be much evidence of a struggle in the strangulation. So we think that maybe whoever's doing this is poisoning them first. But we don't get it every time. Sometimes there's redness, sometimes there's not. So we think... Oh, and sometimes there's more or less of a struggle.
Yeah, okay.
So we're thinking maybe it's a couple different killers. Copycats, if you will. I coined the term.
Wow.
But do cats copy each other all the time? So I named it after...
All right, time to write Anded coined copycats.
Mercy me.
Well, that's interesting, but it doesn't really sound like what we're investigating.
No, but you did say you saw small animal tracks.
Yeah, possibly rats.
Yeah, we have found that at some of the scenes of the crime. At some of the strangulations, not all of them. Some of them we found little rodent tracks. And at a couple, my officers have been attacked by rats.
Right. You got a city rat? I don't know if this is something every city has. You got a rat catcher?
We have a couple.
Okay. Could you give me their addresses?
Sure.
He gives you the addresses of two people. One lives in North Market, which is northeast of the, northwestern part of the town. And he gives you Southgate Market, which is basically southwest. It's, they're kind of mirrored, hence how the names are kind of mirrored. In fact, the two rat catchers, the names of their businesses are North and South Rat Catchers.
This might seem like a stupid question, but did they get a lot of work? It seems stupid to ask if this is a particularly rat-infested city, because I've never been in a city that's not. But is this abnormal?
The aggression in the rats is abnormal, certainly.
Yeah, okay.
I've never seen, you know, they're just rats.
No.
If it were dire rats, I could almost understand.
Absolutely, rats are just rats. No, you're right, you're right. Okay, thanks. Let me see if there's anything else I wanted to ask about. Yeah, I'm not sure. That'll do us for now. Thanks, Andad.
No, thank you. And do I assume then you're opening an investigation into this?
I suppose so, yeah.
Good. Glad someone useful's on the case.
I give him a little salute. But, you know, an impartial salute. Like, there's not heaps of... No, it's not like a respectful one.
Yeah, like a single...
Yeah, like a single finger.
He's not nobility.
Yeah, well. All right, well, yeah.
You head on?
Yeah, we'll head on. Well, when we're outside the guardhouse, I'll be like, so what do you reckon? What do we know that could do something like this? I mean, awakened rats? That seems ridiculous, doesn't it? Somebody awakens some rats. Somebody makes those rats attack people.
Strangulation. Says, could be a druid. You know of druids, so yeah. Grace, they're kind of a rarity.
Yeah.
And you've never, well, actually, you might need to roll. You've never met a druid yourself.
Yeah.
And, yeah, you don't know anything further. You've just never met a druid, so you don't really know. But you are aware of the concept of druids.
Okay. Druid mad at the city for some reason?
Potentially.
Yeah.
It's not outside the realm of reason. Richard Ware turns around and says, I fought a druid once.
Yeah? Do I believe him?
No, as he begins to describe the druid, you think he means a goblin.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
You think he thinks druids are goblins?
Dick. Dicky. Are you thinking of a goblin?
Maybe, he says.
I think you're thinking of a goblin.
Thudu nods and says, I think you're thinking of a goblin.
I get it. I mean, I don't, but it's an easy mistake.
Well, the way you described the goblin, there was some natural magic.
Okay, yeah. No,
you
that's
could understand. It was probably like a goblin shaman, yeah, but maybe, it wasn't a druid.
Maybe Uncle Dick was like, maybe Dickie was like, it's related to animals, and that is druid. Yeah, could be a druid, but yeah, we're not going to know a lot.
Zimbalin says, actually,
yeah,
it might not be too far off. It could be a goblin shaman as well. Goblins tend to work with, well, dire rats, obviously, not rats, but it's related. It doesn't fit perfectly, though.
This might seem like a stupid question, because we're very thorough, and I don't think this is the case. This couldn't be the Necro Wizard coming back in some capacity, could it?
Who do you ask?
Just the party, group? Yeah. I mean, like, we took care of that pretty thoroughly.
You look at Zinwalin, Zinwalin looks at Thudu, all of you look at Richard Ware, and you all in unison say, Nah,
we took care of that.
That's silly.
Well, for some reason, the bartender said it'd be worthwhile chatting to Inel, the...
Inel, sorry. Lady Inel.
So maybe we do that. I mean, it's interesting for the nobility to have any kind of idea on the, I don't know, like on strangulations or murders in the town. That seems like something that they would be kind of either above or just not privy to. Maybe I'll go chat to them. And you guys, maybe go speak to Erp's sister.
Yes.
Yeah. See if see if she's got any more information. See if Erp had any enemies. I can't imagine he would have, but maybe that's worthwhile. And I'll go chat to Lady Anel.
You head to, she has a large, basically, manor in the town. It's in the nobles' village, which is where the rich people live. There's a beautiful lake with trees scattered all around it. It's like a park, basically, within the city. As you approach, you see that there is an obelisk, a rune-carved obelisk sitting kind of in the middle of the park. It glows with a faint magical light.
I'd like to, like, stop and give it an inspect.
It doesn't have any... the magical runes relate to the light that it's giving off, but they don't seem to be, like, actual speech. It's just kind of a spell carved upon
it. Does it seem like maybe this is just, like, a spell cast on this obelisk to just cast light?
Yeah, it just seems like a pretty feature.
Cool. I, like, run my finger along it. Huh.
Behind you, you hear a pretty... you would describe this voice as a pretty tinkle.
Hmm.
Like glass clattering together gently.
So Grace? Turn around. Lady Anel?
Yes. She approaches you. She is gorgeous. She's like the figure of nobility. You know that she is a distant relative of the king, like a second or third cousin, basically. But nonetheless, royalty. She moves with an easy, calm demeanor that kind of indicates that you can tell that she probably is very graceful.
Yeah, sure.
If she wanted to, she could perform backflips and front flips and whatnot.
I immediately feel like a big ham in armor.
She has deep red hair and amber eyes. You can tell that beneath her really well ostentatious clothing, she's wearing armors, which is unusual. As she approaches you, she slows down. She was moving, almost gliding towards you with speed, but when she gets closer, she slows down. Sir Grace, yes?
Don't worry, it's not... the wizard's not back, it's nothing too bad. Sorry, where was I? Hi, we are investigating, me and my party who aren't here right now, we're investigating a murder. We thought we'd stay a little bit longer and maybe jump on the case. You know, it's an adventure to be found everywhere. I describe the sort of body we found, and then I say, well, and the barkeep was saying that there'd been strangulations in the city, and maybe you'd know something about it. And I just thought, well, maybe I'd come this way, but perhaps I'm intruding.
No, I'm glad you came, actually.
Okay.
I wanted to talk to you about this specifically.
Right.
It is both ill but good omen that this has happened this morning. I feared to bring this up because it's a personal matter, and I wanted to put the good of the town ahead of the good of my own personal family.
Okay.
But I want you to know that I wanted to tell you this from the moment that you set foot in this village, but obviously you had bigger concerns.
There was a necro wizard, sure.
Yes. My half-brother, Gary.
Yes.
Gary the lame, as he is referred to. Or was referred to.
Sure.
Is one of the victims of this murderer.
Yeah, of course. Where
he was killed right here in the nobles' village.
I assume you've got pretty good security here as well, so that's sort of a shock, yeah?
Apparently no one saw anything.
Hmm.
He was, as I understand it, he was thieving from another house when it happened.
Your brother was?
Or he had just come out of another house when it happened.
Forgive me for asking, but why would he need to?
I would suppose the black sheep of my family.
Okay, for sure.
My father, before he died, he wrote my half-brother out of his will, considering him a bastard, and gave him no lands, nor titles, nor money to his name. I love my half-brother.
Sure.
We grew up together, and he was as important to me as my own heart is. And when he was found, it was like a very dagger upon my heart.
Of course. I'd like to take her hands in mine. Nothing is more important than family. I understand. So, how long ago did this happen?
She moves into your embrace very familiarly.
Oh boy.
And she says, it was about a month ago.
Okay.
There was a spate of them around then. A large spate. Here in the noble's village and around Castle Pier. Castle Pier is, there are three sets of docks.
Yep.
So the first set of docks up in the north is called Kelsey Dock.
Mm-hmm.
Then it gets split by, you know how the city is in two layers?
Yeah.
So those two layers kind of extend out into the water.
Well, I see. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so there's Castle Pier, which is the piers that are service basically the noble's village and the Grand Market, the three places that are in the center of the city. And then the southern one is called Dry Rust Docks.
Okay.
So, yeah, Castle Pier is basically the docks nearest here. There was a spate around here and Castle Pier of murders about a month ago, maybe three in total. Then they started radiating out into the around the city. If, unfortunately, the guard captain does not believe they are all related. They believe they are, what did he call them, copycats?
Yeah, he said when a cat copies another cat, which is a phenomenon I don't know if I've ever seen, but that's fine.
Yes.
So you're saying that the first one, the first strangulation...
The first three were here.
Were here, okay.
I believe, though, that they are related because, and this is something that not many people know, because I hid my brother's body as soon as it was found, as soon as I could.
Your secret is safe with me.
But my brother, I heard what happened. I've been keeping a close eye on murders that have happened
around the city
since my brother. And from what I understand, your murder and my brother's one were very similar. His head, well, he was unrecognizable, but there were definite strangulation marks around his neck.
Yeah. I make a note to check our body for strangulation marks. Hey, I understand. Look, knowing what happened to the body we found, I can't imagine what it was like to find your brother in that state. I'm so sorry.
If it would help as well, you and only you, I would permit no one else.
Understand.
May inspect my brother's corpse.
I appreciate that.
I have had a cleric cast preserve body upon it, and it is as it was when it was found.
Lady Anel, I promise you, a lot of people will look at me and my companions and see us as the sort that will only slay the big dragon or fight the giants, but something like this, something other parties might consider, sort of a sidestep on another adventure, has just the same amount of importance to me. I will stop at nothing until we find who is to blame.
Thank you. I beseech you, please, brave knight, help me.
You have my word. Let's go check out that corpse.
All right. You're.
I don't say that.
Lead the way to your brother.
Yeah. Let me peep that body.
Let's have a looky-loo.
Can I have a little squizzerilla?
She leads you into her manor, her estate, and into below it there are catacombs, and you can see that there are a great many. Oh, no, actually, there'd be very few. Very few bodies are buried here. Mm. Maybe her mother and father, a few, very young siblings who probably died in childbirth or something like that. And then laid out on a slab is her brother's body. You can see that there's a white light about it, which is the preserve corpse spell, basically. Okay. Still in effect.
I'd like to turn to Lady Anel. You don't have to be here for this.
I would like to be in the room, but I will not watch.
That's totally fine.
She turns around, but remains in the crypts with you.
All right.
So we'll split the body into quotation marks, head, neck, arms, torso, legs. And he is wearing clothes, so if you want to check pockets as well. Clothes will add as another thing, basically.
Yeah, no worries. All right, let me just get this down in my journal for when need be. Okay, let's begin with the remains of the head.
All right. Ooh, I get a bad boy card.
Oh, that's a shame.
It's a soup. There's not a lot here.
Okay. Well, I'll make the requisite. Even though the moment I look at it, I'm like, I'm getting nothing from this. I will still take the time to at least pretend like I'm inspecting it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So that it looks like I'm not just skipping it. Then after that, I guess I'll move on to the arms.
Oh, get a good boy card.
Oh! I sort of gently and respectfully lift them up, inspect every kind of part of them that I can.
You find that beneath his fingers, there are... No, his beneath his nails.
Fingernails, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, fingernails. Beneath his fingernails are flesh. It looks like he struggled with his attacker.
Okay.
He definitely got a bit of the attacker's flesh. You can also, when you peel the flesh out, you can... It smells awful. It smells like death itself. You can tell that this flesh is the flesh of a long-rotting corpse. Okay. But... It should have also been under the effects of the preserve body spell. So this was corpse flesh when the attacker struck.
Okay. Okay. Cool. I like kind of swallow, you know, because it's massively unpleasant, but try not to show it and I'll move on to the torso.
The torso shows no real signs of damage except... For one claw mark upon the chest, whatever made it was not human, not in any way. And you can't detect if it was a spell, but whatever hit him was either magical or bestial in nature.
Is there
in
the same
way.
Sort of ice, like you said there was
yes,
in the first one?
Yes, there's icing on this claw mark.
Icing, like on a cake?
Yeah.
Cool. Now, like, run my finger again, kind of respectfully on it. Is it still cold? Is the preserve life spell kept
back? It would keep it cold, yeah.
Okay. I guess let's move down to the legs.
His boots are very clean, but you would probably expect
that.
He's a
noble, sure. Yeah. And they might have cleaned his boots in the interim.
Potentially, yeah. Other than that, nothing interesting.
Okay. And then let's finally check his clothes.
Oh, I get another bad boy card.
Oh, that sucks.
In his clothes, you turn out a silver disc. It's like a coin, but much bigger. On it has a, it's got like a rearing dragon facade on it, but you don't recognize it.
Mm. I'll put it back in. Okay. That's fine. Well, I stand up and move over to Lady Anel. Maybe I put my hand gently on her back. The damage done to this body is very similar to the damage done to ours. It's immensely similar. Thank you so much for permitting me to have a look at this body. Would it be all right? I know you said that you would only want me to, but I have companions that have skills that, surprisingly, I don't. A wizard by the name of Zin, she is incredibly skilled and she might be able to pick up things I didn't.
She looks at you and she says, do you trust them completely?
Yes. Yes, I do. We've been through many battles together.
Very well, then.
Thank
you. But only this person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I think then my next port of call might be the docks.
All right. Castle Pier?
Yeah. I'd like to bid farewell to the fine lady. All Maybe right. I get down on one knee and kiss her hand.
She blushes when you do that.
So we meet again. Lady Anel.
I'll be counting the moments.
Oh my gosh. So much romance.
All right. You head down to Castle Pier.
Mm-hmm.
On your way there, when you get to, there's like a crossroads at Castle Pier.
Yeah.
And at the crossroads, you can see a giant stone and brick and wooden building. You can tell as well that it's under construction, or it's like finishing construction.
Yeah.
You can see the part of the wall is still incomplete and the building inside is incomplete. On a big sign out the front of this building says the Gnomish Merchant Trading Company.
Oh, okay. Is this like something I've never really seen before or heard of before?
No, you're aware of the Gnomish Merchant. It's the state-run merchant trading company. There are Candor and the gnomes have a pretty friendly relationship.
Sure.
So maybe you enjoy a healthy, every now and then, gnomeberry spirit
of some sort. Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
You've definitely enjoyed products either made by or traded from the Gnomish Merchant Trading Company.
Maybe, are there people still working on it?
Yeah, there are workmen all about. None of them are gnomes, though. They all look like locals.
Is there anybody taking a break that I think I wouldn't annoy if I asked them some questions?
As you approach, it looks like all of them are about to take a break.
Ah, fantastic.
They want to come talk to you.
I like rest against like a post out the front and be like, GTC's made it all the way out here, has it?
One of them No, there wouldn't be any orcs. Mm-hmm. One of them...
Wowzers.
We'll say a dwarf nods and says, "Aye, they've contracted us to help them build their new headquarters out here. Headquarters West, they call it."
Headquarters West. Headquarters West. How quick... You seem like you're basically done.
Yeah, nearly done. It's been a long haul, but we're nearly finished on this one.
Fantastic.
Last brick will go up next week.
Oh, that's so exciting. When do the... Maybe this is a dumb question. When do the gnomes come in?
Oh, the gnomes are inside. It's just a skeleton
of
proof.
Of course.
For now.
Yeah, totally. Totally. Well, good luck to you.
No, good luck to you.
Am I like on the docks?
Sorry?
Am I on the docks or am I like on the way to the docks?
You're very near to the docks.
Well, maybe I'll ask them then. You guys don't mind me stopping you working, do you? Maybe you enjoy it.
Well, the dwarf looks around at all of the workmen, and they all look like a little sheepish, and the dwarf looks back and says, "We would like to hear a story."
Okay, well, that's not what I was offering, but a story. I once again tell them the Cinder story, because it's an easy one for me to do.
They are enraptured. Unlike the crowd back at the tavern, where maybe you were also yelling a bit to make yourself heard, this group, it's like quiet enough here that they can hear you a lot better, and you're not incredibly intoxicated.
Yeah, yeah. So you can tell really the story more clearly. Well, fellas, now that I've told you a story, could you do something for me?
Of course, anything.
What favor will Grace ask for, and will it be granted? Find out next time on Fall from Grace, Part 2, The City.
Thanks for listening. If you want to help support this show and all the other shows on the Sanspants Radio Network, just head to sanspantsradio.com and consider joining the Sanspants Plus community. There's over 20 bonus shows, a Sanspants Plus Discord, exclusive video content, and discounts on merch. Just head to sanspantsradio.com and follow the links.